So, John, we performed Killjoy last night. Did you own it, mate?
I reckon we did own it, yes, thank God. It was probably the best out of the three so far. Yeah. A, because it's in the fucking power station. I mean, we played all those songs in the power station, so it was really like being at that time again.
Well,
as soon as we walked on stage and went, duh, you could just tell on the people's faces, because it was like, we're going to fucking slam these bastards. Yeah.
So there's obviously a few songs on Killjoy that we still play in the set. But then there's also stuff like For What You Burn and Silver Cup, I've been really enjoying these shows. Why did we not play
it? I just think it was more of a lack of confidence in being able to pull off that sort of music live. Because it's quite expansive. And when we were younger, it's much easier to go and smash people over the head. And you know it's going to work.
Now looking back, where does Killjoy sit in the scheme of Sheheart albums?
Well, it's something that, I mean, I'm personally very proud of. The whole band are, eh? I mean, it's a fucking great record. It's an unusual record, I think, for us in the fact that it's a very condensed record where it's got one sound that runs through it, whereas a lot of our other records, we
try and be a lot more colourful.
Yeah, we go everywhere. I think that's what makes it a really good cohesive record, you know, because it's one sound. And because we had 9 songs and that was it.
Yeah.
There's no B-sides. No, nothing. But, I mean, where does it sit in the catalogue? Something I reckon we should be really proud of.
I do remember coming off tune, and we did like it, but I do remember us thinking it was a bit too cold and it ended up being maybe a little more industrial than what we were.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the jazz Coleman influence, you know. He brought a lot of great things to the table, but I do remember when we were setting about to do Killjoy, we wanted to strip it back to the band members and their instruments.
Yes. The churn was really a lot about overseas band influences. It was Killing Joke, it was Helmet, it was Ministry, Skinny Puppy, Nine Inch Nails, industrial. And then on the next record, it was Bow to Space, My Bloody Valentine, Skeptics, and then trying to put that into what we'd already done, you know?
Well, I remember when Tom used to work at Dixon Street Music Store or whatever it was, and I remember they had a guitar player in there, and I think that was the first Kirk Hammett got voted Guitarist of the Year.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He actually talked about us there, which was that he said his mate Puffy had given him Churn.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a talked out Killing Joke meets Helmet.
That was big news, man. It was like fucking, we're still working in music retail in Wellington. And fuck, as kids, Master of Puppets is probably the biggest record in the world for me. So to have the guitarist from that band go, fuck, I've been listening to this Kiwi band's record, it was like wicked. We're total fucking nerds when it comes to track listing an album. It's like, it's got to have its ups and downs. But we're the same when it comes to writing a set list. You need other songs from other records to make it that good.
I mean, I suppose also it's a test of the integrity of a record as well,
whether
it actually works.
Whether it works or not.
From start to finish.
And it's fucking interesting with General Electric as well. I mean, it's like, we play those first 5 songs pretty much every show. But yet, when you play it in the order that it was done, it becomes more powerful in a weird way. It becomes fresh again, eh?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's a 9-song album, I'm finding I'm just throwing myself into it and not even thinking about saving my body or saving any bit of energy for later on or anything. I'm just going, fucking here it is right now. So I'm finding I'm contorting and fucking moving way more than I used to. Like, when we used to play these songs, I was a static motherfucker. It was long hair, you'd do your head banging and shit, and then you'd go back and you'd concentrate on how fucking tight you were. But because of the experience we've had, I'm finding that we're remaining tight, but fuck, man, I'm moving way more than I ever used to.
Yeah.
Which is great, because they're really fucking funky songs.
I mean, I suppose for me too, it's the remembering the chaos again, too, in a way. And well, for me, when I was playing Killjoy back in the day, there was a looser element to performing. Where you'd work yourself up into a bloody
ball
of energy.
Well, like the end of Bitter or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it just sort of has to be done when you're playing that music. There's not really any option. Ouch. That's what I've noticed. Mm. Like, My Mind Sedate becomes so that potent first song again. General Electric straight in after it, and it's like, that's an interchangeable start, end, middle song. But because it's coming in after My Mind Sedate, it's just fucking grunty as all fuck. and then you got straight into Wait and See, and it's like, this is, yeah, there's a reason those songs are in that order, you know, because they fucking work in that order, you know. And then you get to the second half, and it's like, we hardly play any of those fucking songs.
No.
Like, just like everybody else, hardly ever.
Well, we even on the Just Like Everybody Else tour we did in Australia, we never played it. Much to our manager's dismay. It's like, well, you named the fucking tour.
No, we're going to go out. It's a radio single, man. It's not a fucking radio single, dude. No, it is. Sure it is. Okay, cool. It's the Just Like Everybody Else tour. Well, I'm not fucking playing it.
We didn't
play it once on the Just Like Everybody Else tour.
I mean, I suppose the funny thing is with that song is that it was a B-side on, was it The Fish or Killjoy, even?
It actually might have been.
Remember, yeah. I think it was a B-side of Killjoy. And it was, I actually remember it was something that we brought to Garth.
That's right.
And he wanted us to refresh it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we were even going back to it ourselves and kind of thinking, well, that was quite
a pretty cool bit of music.
Yeah,
it is weird. Eh?
It is quite weird that song had actually been around for probably 4 or 5 years.
And then we never played the new version of Spacing because he changed that.
Yeah, and we always preferred the Blue Light Disco version.
Yeah. But it's actually been really fucking cool.
It's actually more of a song.
Yeah, it is more of a song.
The way he's done it.
Yeah. And then Sport and Religion's been fucking great.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've had your problems with it.
Well, it's only because I play 4 notes through the whole fucking thing. But, hey, it's all right. It means I have a breather.
True,
it's a no-brainer for, you know, I don't mind some no-brainer songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a lot of no-brainer songs.
Well, that loop is really, the loop is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you hear the loop and... And fuck,
well, it is fat.
And fuck, the crowd bounce action on that is pretty much as big as Wait and See in a weird way.
Yeah, it has been.
Which is fucking bizarre. Because it definitely doesn't have that same heavy vibe of Wait and See.
No.
But it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
But I mean, fuck, this whole tour's been insane. I mean, we've been fucking working every day to get a new record finished. And then we had this tour coming up and it was like, when are we physically going to have time to do this?
Yeah.
And it was like...
Well, it was getting closer and closer, and I mean...
You were working on the artwork for the new record. I was still doing vocal tapes on the new record.
And obviously the priority for us was to get this record done and done right.
Fucking A, man.
And then I remember getting a text from Phil going, okay, we're rehearsing every morning, 10:30.
Oh,
which isn't us. I mean...
I don't sing before 5 o'clock in the evening. No fucking way, man.
Yeah.
But I had to.
So we started a regime for this tour of bloody starting at 10:30 and rehearsing.
In the morning. I mean, you don't go to bed till 4 or 5 or 6.
Yeah, totally. And then you were off to just go and do vocals after that. Tom was off to do editing and mixing.
Yeah.
And it was just...
It was insane.
It was insane.
Because I wasn't finishing till 4 or 5 in the morning.
And it only lasted about a week.
And then we all just went, oh, fuck that. Yeah. Fuck that, man. We'll just turn up at soundcheck at Christchurch and fucking practice. That's what we did. We literally turned up and rehearsed Killjoy for, what, 2 or 3 hours?
Oh, at least.
And then went, that's good enough. And then fucking just jumped in and it was fucking sweet.
I mean, really, it was about, I mean, for me, when we got those 2 Christchurch shows done, I was so much more relaxed about the rest of the tour.
Yes.
Because we had actually gotten through the 2 albums and we actually did pretty good.
Fuck yes.
And
yes.
It was actually such a relief.
Well, ultimately, all that information is actually in your brain.
It's a matter of
just going, pulling it out, finding it and accessing it and going, oh, that's right, that's what I fucking did, you know? So you got to make the mistakes, give yourself the chance to make the mistakes to go, oh, right, I do this. Once you've done that and got out your system, there you go, there's the show. And then also, you're extra adrenalized at a show because... There's fucking people standing in front of you. You don't look like a cockhead. So you go, I'm concentrating right now and I'm going to fucking do my best, you know? And that's what it's been. Like, Christchurch fucking general legend was huge, man.
Yeah,
it was huge. Fucking huge. Killjoy was rocking too, but fuck, man, Killjoy Wellington was fucking special. Hey?
Very special.
Yeah, it was fucking special. And then general, for me, I thought it was good musically, but fuck, it was so loud, I could hardly hear my voice. I think it's because I turned my guitar up just fucking ballistically loud. before I walked on. So I fucked myself completely. And then, last night, Killjoy was fucking gold at the power station.
Yeah. That was probably the best Killjoy one, wasn't it?
It was fucking monumental, yeah.
Yeah. So do one thing I was actually finding last night was that, because I suppose, you know, back when we used to play these songs a lot, I don't know about you, but I kind of, I suppose it's like, not necessarily rock moves, but I find, I work out a way to dance to our songs when we're playing them. And when you're playing the, you know, when it's fresh and you're thinking it, you just find these bits that you like to do. And I noticed that you cut up your hand in the second song or something. Have you been finding that as well, playing the songs and kind of that there was parts where you'd do stuff?
Yeah.
To accentuate the parts of the songs?
Definitely. But I think, I don't know what it is. I think, oh, fuck off, Phil.
I've got a question for John.
Okay, Philip.
Back in the day, what did you enjoy more, recording or playing live?
Jerking off.
Speaking of jerking off, have you ever felt the need to masturbate while waiting in traffic?
Yes, I have once. It was traffic in, I mean, to just give you, you know, like a bit of context here, traffic in Melbourne is fucking awful, right? Awful. And it just lasts for ages and ages and ages. And
I mean, people in Wellington think the traffic shit, but I mean,
honestly, to get, you know, it's just fucking retarded. So, yeah, sure, you know, like, you know, you can only, and this is before iPhone, so I couldn't play Angry Birds. So, you know.
This is what people used to do before Angry Birds.
I'll neither confirm or deny that rumour.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I thought the Angry Birds bit was okay.